Welcome to Ready for Change, the podcast dedicated to preparing and equipping you with the tools needed for changes within your industry. I'm your host, Mike Jarmus, and on this podcast, we'll be featuring special guests who are experts in business, retail, and finance. They will share their stories, wisdoms, and insights on changes occurring within their own industries. We'll cover other topics like market trends, technology, news, and innovation in various industries. Thanks for tuning in this week. Now let's get started. The latest RBR report predicted a 2% decline in the total number of branches over the next 5 years. That does not sound like much, but in reality, that means approximately 14,000 branches will be closing worldwide. The branch historically has been the face of financial institutions. It's a location that has helped establish trust and key relationships between the bank and the customer. But today, consumers are only likely to step in to their local branch for important or urgent financial matters. In addition to that, the number of digital-only and digital-first customers are steadily increasing, and they represent an important target market for financial institutions. As consumers, we are more connected than ever. We now have the ability to chat with a banker and schedule an appointment at our nearest branch, all from a mobile banking app. But contrary to popular belief, consumers of all ages prefer a human touch. In 2018, Celent released a report that highlighted that the future of banking is human. More importantly, in the same report, Celent cited that 77% of consumers looked to head into a branch to resolve complex issues and to discuss financial topics in depth. That being said, it is clear that the bank branch is an important pillar in a financial institution strategy. The branch is the cornerstone to harmonize interactions between the different channels and the bank customers. And while it's true technology provides banks with competitive edge, there's something more paramount that banks must keep in mind to increase their footfall: branch transformation. An example could be as simple as learning how to design a branch that attracts millennials and Gen Zers. On today's episode, Kevin Blair, the CEO of Newground, will share why there's a need for transformational change, as well as provide his take on some of the factors influencing this need in the banking industry. He'll also share his predictions on digital banks and what lies ahead in the next decade of transformation. Before we get started, I just want to take the time to provide a little background on our guest. Kevin has over 40 years' experience in the development of strategic facility solutions for financial services companies globally. Newground is the industry thought leader for strategy, innovative design, and project management for the industry. Kevin sets Newground's strategic vision. He also leads the company's team of strategy and design experts in creating and delivering some of the most dynamic customer experiences within the industry. Kevin is also known as an industry futurist, delivering thought-provoking keynote presentations on retail delivery trends at conferences worldwide. Thank you for joining us today, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Mike. I'm excited.
Great. We're very excited to have you on the podcast today. So before we dive deep into our conversation, Kevin, could you please explain to our audience why transformational change is imperative for financial institutions today?
Yeah, I'd be glad to dive into that topic, Mike. I believe that the financial services industry worldwide are struggling to evolve their retail delivery strategies as rapidly as the consumers are evolving. Banks, credit unions, the financial services industry at large is moving at what I call bank speed, while the consumers are moving at retail speed. And as a result, there's a significant gap between consumer expectations and demands and that of what the financial service sector is able to provide for those consumers. Driving some of this need to change and evolution of the banking model is that there's really a couple of big, what I call primary drivers, setting the stage for why does any financial service company need to change. First and foremost is that we're evolving rapidly into this new digital society. And inside this new digital society, the consumers, businesses behave, communicate quite differently than we did several years ago. And it's moving rapidly, the transition of technology, the expectations associated with that. as well as the consumer behavior. We've seen significant changes in consumer behavior on the retail side just in the last 3 to 5 years alone. Just looking at the online purchases of consumer products around the holidays as an example, and how now that's migrating and driving behavior of how a financial service company is shopped and or how the consumers buy products and services is significantly different in the last 3 to 5 years. Today, the consumers expect their financial partners to have state-of-the-art technology. They expect them to be automated. They expect to have digital channel integration. That's all part of expectations. And therein lies the problem, is that most financial service companies haven't transformed. They don't have effective strategies, or they're just not simply moving rapidly enough. I characterize the situation where the industry is that it's at a unique tipping point. There's a number of factors that have stacked up that are leaning towards the need for transformation, that are really driving that change, and that those financial institutions that do go through this aggressive transformation are the ones that are going to evolve their retail strategies, and ultimately the ones that are going to create significant competitive advantage in the future.
Mm-hmm. Considering you just provide a fantastic answer, I'm going to take a step back. Could you provide our listeners with some context on what the average bank looks like today? And please feel free to elaborate on the overall branch design and how it will look and feel for a visitor.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I want to put it in context so that our expertise in this space is pretty significant. Our company has been around for over 100 years. We literally designed and created the first branch experience in North America. We created the first drive-up motor bank. We've really evolved the banking model over this history of the company. And as we look at the need for physical branch and also some myths of whether the physical branch matters today, I want to start by saying it's still the physical site is still an extremely important reason and one of the main factors that a consumer uses in the selection of their primary financial provider. Proximity to that branch is one of the top reasons that they select. Branches, however, have evolved. They no longer provide our basis for the transactional part of the business. That's not the focus of the branch today. It's really evolved to where they acquire new accounts, onboarding. It's really through the transition of complex sales and service. That's what the consumer expects that branch experience to be. And it's not about transactions. And therein lies the problem. Probably 75% of all branches worldwide are focused on transactions. A very large percentage of the floor plate of most branches are set up for that. Yet that's not why the consumer goes there any longer. Therefore, there's a need for redesign, transformation of the branch experience all the way through. As we look at what the current branch looks and feels like, obviously technology plays a significant role in that. It's the number one reason why that's driving transformation is because of technology integration. The average branch size is shrinking, and it's down to probably approximately 2,500 square foot for freestanding branches. Inlines and in stores and tenant improvement type branches are probably about half that size. So say 1,200 to 1,500 square feet. This average size of a freestanding branch, just to put it in context for the international market, that's approximately 230 square meters in size as the average. Inline would be approximately half of that. Therefore, the branches of today are 30 to 40% smaller than they were just 5 years ago. So we see shrinking of the branch experience. We see more technology integration as part of that in a use of a universal banker platform. We introduced the concept of universal banking to banking industry back in the mid-90s when we designed and created the prototype experience for Umpqua Bank. That was the first really use of it worldwide. Universal Banker really is an open plan for the international audience. It really changes the retail platform. In approximately 85% of all new experiences being designed today, integrate the Universal Banker philosophy in the platform itself. As part of that same platform, cash automation is extremely important. So probably 90%+ of all new designs going out today include some form of cash automation. And then finally, we're seeing a trend where the pods of yesterday, which I would classify as the 8-track tapes of technology and delivery, have evolved into cash bars and concierge counters today. So we've seen an evolution from 15, 20 years ago, when the pods were introduced for cash automation, and now they're migrating over to these larger formats, operating very much the same way as a pod, but has a different look and feel about it. And they're especially powerful and effective when you're working with commercial banks. Commercial banks have a tendency not to be transactionally focused. They have larger deposits, so you have to manage that relationship quite differently in the retail experience. And the concierge bars and the cash bars work extremely well. The last piece that I think is also unique that is driving some of the changes in the look and feel of retail experiences is the integration of multi-use functions in the design. So no longer is it just about a banking facility. Today, they're integrating other examples of use for consumers, such as community rooms, meeting space, conference centers, tech bars, coffee shops that bring the consumer into the physical environment so that they stay longer. Good retailers understand that if a consumer comes to the store and shops longer, they buy more. And good bankers understand that if we draw them into the physical environment and we can encourage them to stay, that they will eventually build deeper relationships and will sell more products and services to them.
Kevin, that's another great answer, an explanation of what branches look like today. When previously visiting branches myself, some of the best locations were very open and inviting. But most importantly, I did not feel any pressure to open an account, for example. And now it's peculiar to go into a branch that doesn't offer additional amenities, such as free Wi-Fi or refreshments, for example. That being the case, what factors do you feel are causing banks to increase their emphasis on customer experience?
Yeah, so there's lots of factors that are really influencing the design and the development of the customer experience. And I think first and foremost, the one that is really what should be the foundation is what is the consumer really want? It shouldn't be about what the financial service provider wants to deliver. It should be what the consumer expects and is desiring from that physical location. I'll go back to your example, how when you come into the physical site and when somebody's trying to sell you products and services immediately, that was a time frame in the, say, the 80s and 90s where that retail presence was very strong. Some of the big national design or banking firms in the U.S. and abroad were having greeters that would meet you literally at the front door and say, how can I help you? And it was learned that the consumer didn't feel comfortable with that. They felt they were being attacked as they walk right in. And now there's these decompression zones that are necessary as they enter a physical space to allow the consumer, the customer, to decide what journey they want to take and whether they need help or not. Most individuals coming into the physical site already know why they're coming, and they don't need help and guidance in that. They're regular customers. Rarely do you just wander into a bank branch. So as a result, the new thinking of retail experience is to create an experience that draws them and attracts them, delivers more dynamic, more powerful, multi-sensory experiences. We believe that it all really starts not just with a good, solid foundation of the strategy, but it really should align the financial institution's brand promise. At the end of the day, their brand, who they are, and who they want to serve must align in the physical space. We call that alignment of brand, place, and culture. We also believe that the place is the physical manifestation of an organization's brand. It's really that simple. If we're able to translate in design what the brand promise is, it will attract and retain the customers that financial institution is trying to accomplish. Now, it also depends on the experiences that by branch itself based on the size and scale of the environment. So for instance, flagships, large formats, corporate headquarters, et cetera, are far easier to create multiple options for a consumer. It's got a big space, a big footprint, expensive. And however, it gets far more complicated when you go into smaller footprint neighborhood stores, grocery store type branches, micro branches, and in those smaller footprints, you're limited in space. So now you have to truly look at the strategy around that existing site or the one you're trying to create the design around. We believe that the key to success in delivering outstanding customer experience is really to clearly define the strategy first by branch, by site, and then align your brand, place, and culture in that site. And not approach it as a one-size-fit-all, where there's a standard template that you just roll across all networks and all neighborhoods. Finally, I think that as tied to that, and we'll talk deeper about that, is the people. So as you align brand, place, and culture, it's really critically important that your team delivers that brand promise inside that experience. And when you do that, that's when you're going to really get the flywheel going.
So Kevin, now I'm going to lay out a hypothetical situation for you. Say we have a financial institution who is looking to transform their branch network and are listening to this episode today. Hopefully we have many of those listening to us. What are the primary areas that they can assess before getting started?
Great question. First of all, I hope everyone listening to this has a branch transformation strategy, because if they don't, they're already behind. So all financial institutions absolutely have to have a strategy how they're addressing their legacy sites, those worn out, irrelevant environments that are really undermining the value of the brand and the customer experience. Our experience in transformation of networks is extensive. As I mentioned earlier, we created the branch design. We are the ones that originated branching as it relates to banking. And over the years, we've also assisted financial service companies worldwide and how to transform their existing networks. So there is a methodology, there's a process that people follow. And although we find that each unique situation with their brand, their environments, their strategies may vary, the process you follow in execution of a transformation is the same. So it always starts with first and foremost in a solid strategy. And strategy is not just global retail or the marketing team deciding this is who we're going to become, our brand. It really is about bringing together the key stakeholders involved in the development of that strategy, such as real estate, such as retail, operations, security, security officers, senior management, selected frontline staff, and in some cases, even bringing consumers, customers in as part of that experience creation, and allowing the organization to align their strategy amongst their various departmental silos internally. We see over and over again, those organizations that bring their team together and align strategies are the ones that are more successful in rolling it out versus the silo effect where retail decides this is what it is and real estate wasn't even part of the conversation or vice versa. We know that by bringing people together, there's a collaboration, there is some type of input by everyone that influences the ultimate outcome. Next, we know that it's important that you understand the kind of the state of what we call the customer experience. And part of that understanding is to do a thorough and accurate assessment of the entire branch network. The surveying of these branches needs to be very comprehensive, not only looking at technology and doing audits, but also looking at the customer experience, multisensory, as well as staff assessment to find out how effective is the frontline staff. And ultimately, through this assessment, you will identify what we call gaps. And in those gaps, if we can close them, if we can fill those gaps, that's what will enhance and grow and improve the customer experience. Next step is that we believe that it's very, very important to create the branch of the future, the prototype experience of what they want and then apply to the network. Again, we see lots of time spent on renovation of existing legacy sites without really thinking about the future. My personal belief is in all branches, in all prototype experience, our job is to make the consumer and the staff inside the branch and the financial feel very uncomfortable the day it opens. If somebody moves into a new experience and they feel comfortable, that means we haven't stretched them far enough. Since financial service companies want that prototype to last 15 to 20 years, we have to move them further in their comfort zone in terms of how to deliver a dynamic customer experience. So that prototype needs to be developed along with what we call in our industry a kit of parts, which is really the retail elements that make up that prototype along those points of experience with the consumer. After you've developed the prototype and we've created the kit of parts, then you assess your network and put your branches into tiers or buckets, as we call them, into maybe three or four different types of classifications of need. Typically, we find that financial institutions will rank them as those that need extensive renovation, those that need to come in and be completely renovated, gutted of what the existing experience and apply the new, those that just need a minor renovation, just upgrade the cash automation, maybe take out the teller lines and put in cash bars, concierge or pods. It could be just upgrading of the digital communication strategy and lighting, et cetera. The third tier is those that just need pure environmental. So now we're just applying the brand promise, brand elements. We're not changing the environments significantly. They're not doing architectural engineering and they're not doing major construction. It's pure marketing related type of environmental application, furniture possibly, what we call light refresh. And then finally, the fourth bucket is those that you're not going to touch at all. And there's a couple of reasons why you wouldn't do that. One is that eventually you may dispose of those branches, close them. They're no longer relevant. They're in the wrong location in town. You want the leases to expire. And when you do, you're going to close it. Two is that they've already made an investment in it. And that investment, although it may not be ideal, it may not perfectly align with the new prototype, it is sufficient to carry them forward without spending a lot of extra dollars. And then thirdly, they may want to transition that site and consolidate it with other sites in the future so that there would be a bucket there that says, we're not going to touch these because we have another, you know, another extended game plan that will apply eventually to the network. Once we know the buckets, once we know how you're going to tier it, then it's simply a matter of applying the kit of parts, the tiers, to each one of them, creating capital budgets, schedules, and then rollout strategies to accomplish that across. And as I said earlier, one of the essential elements of this strategic plan is how you're going to re-engineer your staff. If we put the same staff, your old staff, the old behaviors into this new environment, you're going to greatly diminish the value of the return. If we take the staff and we onboard, train, and really educate them how to utilize that staff effectively or that environment, it's going to show and it's going to deliver a much different return on investment at the end.
So you bring up a staff actually leads perfectly into my next question. So your company, New Ground, has always highlighted the value of branches frontline staff and have even designed several training programs to support them. By doing this, you've enabled their branches to expand. So for our listeners and myself, can you explain the real value in effectively training your staff?
Yeah, I can't overemphasize the importance of training. We're one of the very few design firms in this space that automatically includes a training module on every new prototype. We think it's an essential part of it. And by missing that element, it is going to dramatically influence and diminish the return on investment, as I said earlier. Unfortunately, most training programs of financial services industry are very technically focused. They're operational. It's about technical skills. It's equipment. And they spend very little time and energy on customer experience training. They also generally, in the financial services sector, treat it as a one-time investment, meaning we may open a new facility, let's train the staff, and we're done. We check the box. We're finished. And they forget that there's a significant turnover typically of frontline staff. Usually that's one of the highest turnover rates of any financial provider. So as new people come on board, they haven't been trained properly. And eventually what ends up happening is that it migrates back to traditional thinking, traditional banking, when we really want to create a dynamic customer experience. So it's an ongoing investment as well as reinforcement of the commitment of the financial to really create that training program and that module. The module should be based on the points of experience along the customer journey. So we try to focus the customer experience training on those signature moments where the customer and the staff align or connect. And then we try to define by those points of experience, specifically, what's the intended customer, consumer experience at that point? What's the staff behavior expected to be? And then what supporting elements need to be part of that experience and conversation so that they're able to leverage those points and really enhance the overall experience. And tied to the training issue, we think that without exception, the retail banking industry and those that understand the importance of training that are doing it consistently are the ones that are outperforming on a global stage. And we have many case studies of showing that you can look at a development and launch of prototypes and or new retail platforms. Those institutions that helped really train the staff significantly and committed to it are outperforming greatly those that did not.
Kevin, I completely buy into that. The talent is really what helps set the engaging atmosphere in a branch. But recently, the banking industry has shown to have some trouble attracting and keeping talent. In the past, working for a bank was considered one of the most attractive career paths. But now there's a lot of talent looking towards working for companies like the Googles, the Facebooks, the Amazons of the world, for example. Considering the circumstances, how is New Ground working around this obstacle?
In addressing this question, because I think this is dead on with some of the obstacles of attracting talent today, the perception of the financial services industry was greatly damaged in the reputation with young talent because of the recession and because of what happened 10 years ago. And it's interesting how we can't seem to forget that, right? And it was the same time, interestingly, that there was a tipping point where Google, Facebook, and some of the digital channel companies were hiring lots of people. So the young talent migrated towards these cool gee whiz models that treated me differently and had all these amenities inside the experience. We're finding, however, that people aren't really happy at those environments. It's a very hard grind in some of those, and it's going to be a unique opportunity for the financial sector over the course of the next few years as those young talent that went into Google's and Facebook's now are looking for the next chapter in a more stable, probably, environment like a financial sector. We also know that the experience matters greatly to how those millennials and the next generation want to work. So when they walk into an old legacy branch that doesn't look and feel very good, it kind of smells like their grandfather's Oldsmobile, and it doesn't really have any kind of progressiveness. Why would anybody that's looking for a career path want to start working there? So they're automatically going to block that young professional that's looking for that future. So as a result, by creating a dynamic frontline experience, it's as important for the consumers that you're serving as it is the employees. As a matter of fact, I think it's more important for the people because they behave differently inside that space. You attract a different kind of a frontline employee that therefore services and delivers a much more dynamic customer experience. It's all related. So they invest more in that experience, but the turnover of the frontline's lower, the customer experience is greater, the return is greater, and it is the flywheel of growing and really driving the success of the organization. I say quite often at grand openings for clients all over, as I visit and do speeches and really thank them for their relationship with us, I use the Winston Churchill quote quite often. He said, first we shape our buildings and then they shape us. And that could not be more true for the financial sector. We create a dynamic experience that literally shapes the people inside it. They behave differently when they walk into the space that's intended to feel like that customer experience of tomorrow. And I can give you many, many examples of how we've literally seen transformation of organizations from very traditional banking organizations to dynamic retailers just over the environments that the team has been really created to move into, to behave and deliver the services, and then, of course, the training that goes along with it.
So I want to move over next to one of the hot topics that has been discussed in a lot of the conferences and other things I've been attending. Over the last 5 to 10 years, we've seen the growth of fintechs, digital banks, neobanks, for example. They're now looking towards a way to compete with banks with physical branches. In the next generation of banking, do you believe that we'll see digital players open physical branches? And if so, how do you think they'll do it?
Yeah, so I think this is a great topic that we could dive real deep into. On the high level, let me just say this. For the banking organizations and financial service sector that have literally hundreds of thousands of branches, over a million branches worldwide, for those that feel that the branch is dead, this is just confirmation that it is not. The digital companies are moving into the physicality, right? They see the importance of physical branches. And so that's still the number one criteria for a consumer to select their primary financial. Do I believe that that there's going to be a transformation, that the digital bank companies are going to now deliver? Yes, I think there will be. You're going to see that happen. And interestingly, both banks and credit unions alike worldwide have physical branches, but they're talking about their digital strategies. And the digital companies, the digital providers, have the digital channels, and they're talking about physicality. And they're both moving to the same spot. They're both migrating into, there's a unique blend, a unique combination to serve all customers. And in both the digital and physical banking environments, there's that unique blend to help, that supports who they are, their brand, and how they want to reach their customers. You know, we know that the digital teams, the digital banks specifically, are going to be moving and trying to provide more physicality in the future. We hear about it all the time through conferences, through white papers. They're exploring whether there's an application for physicality. I'll take some of the what I would call the discount brokerage companies. I'll take one of them, Charles Schwab, as an example. It's interesting, as many people would consider them an online discount brokerage, yet they have a branch network that really covers the entire United States. And as we look at the number of sites that they have, a vast majority of their customers, their new customers, their relationships are started through people walking through the front door. In Charles Schwab's book, written a few years back, he talked about over 80% of their customers walk into the front of one of their stores. And once they establish a relationship, they will have a propensity to manage it online until there's a problem, they have a deeper need, they want consultation, et cetera. Banking is exactly the same. Onboarding happens physically. People have a tendency, all age groups, even millennials, next generation, they want to walk physically into the branch to open up their experience, make sure that that's the right feel, the right fit, the right brand experience for them. And then once they establish it, they migrate to the basic management through digital channels. And so the digital banks are going to look at how do they balance that? They've got the digital side very well covered, but they're missing the physicality. They're missing the deep relationship. This is a topic that Newground has invested a considerable amount of time and energy, specifically partnering with Glory and some other really very powerful technology experts in studying what does that next generation of an urban bank model look like and how would the digital banks, as well as traditional banks, utilize this next generation urban experience. And I'm excited to see that evolution in the next 10, 15 years.
So Kevin, I usually like to make our guests take a little bit of a gamble and give us a few predictions on our different episodes. Could you share with us any predictions that you have for what physical branches may look like in the next 10 years?
Yes. Of course, one of the things I love doing at conferences and private workshops, board retreats, et cetera, is I speak to the trends in financial sector for our clients and non-clients alike worldwide. And we make predictions of, you know, where the trends are going. What's the banking experience going to look like 10, 15, 20 years from today? Some of that's future shock, right? This is where it's headed. I think none of us really truly have a real clear vision of what it's going to look and feel like. But the one thing I can accurately describe for the audience is that I can guarantee with 100% certainty it's not going to be what we have today. That those banks and credit unions, financial service sector globally, that continue to deliver services the way we see it today are going to be obsolete and gone tomorrow. The consumer behavior is changing rapidly. They have to change with it or they're going to be left behind. And new providers are going to come in and offer the way that they deliver the services, either the brand, the experience, technology, et cetera. We do know that the legacy sites we see today are going to be replaced. And there's many of them. 0.75% of the network worldwide is considered a legacy site. So those sites have to be upgraded. They have to be relevant to the consumer. They're going to be multi-sensory experiences, meaning they're not just going to be a transaction when you walk in. There's going to be sound, scent, taste. There's going to be a reason for people to come other than banking. They're going to be multi-purpose facilities, not just traditional transaction onboarding and so on. We're going to see large urban banking centers replace some of the small traditional branches. I use Chicago as an example. We're sitting downtown Chicago today. And within 3 miles of our office where we're sitting today, there's over 300 branches in the 3 mile radius, which makes no logical sense. Every single one of those branches has a lease. They've got technology needs. They have staff. You start multiplying the cost and manage that network. Yes, that represents many providers, but we see the future being co-location facilities or shared facilities where you can consolidate those networks in urban centers where it's a much different customer experience in a flagship a la Apple Store or a Starbucks rotisserie, a large, large corporate experience like that. We see branch transformation continuing, network-wide integration of technology. There's a long ways to go. And just when the financial service sector companies get through doing and fixing the thousands and thousands of branches that need to be updated, they're going to have to do it again. So it's a never-ending commitment as the technology evolves and the experience evolves. And then finally, I think the personal mobile device is going to play a much more significant role, even more so than it does today. Consumers today are becoming more and more comfortable with deposit basic transactions on their mobile device, and we're going to see that continue to grow so that essentially that mobile device in our pocket is the branch of the future. And their communication strategies through that branch, through that device, is going to really be an extension of the brand of each of the financial providers. Now, that doesn't ever take out the physicality. You still need that. When someone has a problem, when they still want to go see, or they just want to meet and develop that long-range plan with their banker, then the physical touch is still extremely important. No one should ever rely just on digital channels alone.
So, Kevin, this conversation today has been fantastic, extremely insightful, and I promise this is going to be our final question for you. What's the most important piece of advice you'd like to give to bankers listening, looking to kick off transformation in their branch network?
That's the million-dollar question, Mike. In answering that, I want to back up. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, that I speak at conferences and with board of directors and senior executive teams worldwide on this topic. And honestly, the response to this question is the same response I would say 10, 15 years ago, is that the banking and financial service sector is simply not moving fast enough. They're way too conservative. They understand intuitively they need to make transformation. I can ask and have any executive team just go visit a sampling of their existing retail experiences and honestly assess, does it really represent who they are, technology needs of the consumer, holistically across all channels? And without an exception, the answer is no. And yet they're not moving fast enough. So the financial sector has a tendency to be very analytical. They try to justify every decision. They look at data, they prototype, they measure. In essence, it slows them down. There's too many voices, there's too many opinions that are preventing them from moving rapidly. And my greatest advice is to get moving. Have a plan, execute that plan. And because you have to move quickly, most financial providers are not able to do that with their internal resources. They have what I call day jobs. They're responsible for managing networks and all kinds of other technologies. They need outside partners. They need strategic partners that can see the vision and rapidly help them execute that vision to get ahead of the wave so that they can meet consumer expectations rather than try to play catch up like they have been doing for the last 15 or 20 years. And honestly, no one worldwide is doing a good job. And so they have to move faster. They got to be stronger. And as a result, they'll deliver a much more dynamic experience at the end.
Great. Thank you again today, Kevin. We recognize your time is valuable. It was extremely insightful and provide a lot of value to me and hopefully our listeners as well. So thank you for joining us again today. Hope to have you on a future episode again.
Thank you, Mike. I enjoyed it very much.
In this episode, Kevin shed light on many of the overlooked elements involved in transformation and why transformational change is so important. Oftentimes, I feel that the idea of transformation is misunderstood. From my own personal experience and years of research, I found that when a company does not approach it from a holistic standpoint, they often fail. So as a recap for our listeners, I wanted to provide a few of my key takeaways from the interview. First, understand that transformational change is inevitable. Regardless if you choose to participate or not, transformational change can either make or break your branch in the future. And as the world we live in becomes increasingly more digital, it's important for you to transform, not only for your customers, but for your employees as well. Second, don't underestimate the power of your staff. Your frontline staff are the face of your brand. Their natural talents and their ability to connect with your customers is crucial for the growth of your financial institution's brand. Finally, be mindful in how you invest in digital and physical assets. When digital and physical assets complement one another properly, they can help create an experience that excites and engages visitors entering your branch. With these takeaways in mind, I'd like to conclude this episode with one of my favorite quotes from the late, great Benjamin Franklin. By failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. Thank you for listening to Ready for Change. If you like what you heard, please leave us a positive review and share this episode with a colleague or friend. And be sure to subscribe to Ready for Change on www.glory-global.com/ready-for-change, or you can find us on Apple Podcasts and other major podcast channels in order for you to never miss an upcoming episode. If you have any additional questions or suggestions, be sure to email us at readyforchange@glory-global.com. Until next time, prepare for change.